Beautiful song. God bless you. Proverbs chapter 20 tonight. Proverbs chapter 20. As we continue with this acrostic that we've been giving you on local church leadership. And these different principles that I'm giving you as I spell out the word leadership for you are not only good for leaders, but they're good for Christians in general. Asking the Lord to use these things and speak to our heart. Make us the leader that He's called us to be. There are many, many leaders in this local church. Whether you're a husband leading your wife and family, a father, a mother leading your children, whether it be in this local church, a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a Sunday school worker, a ministry worker, whatever the case may be, a staff member, the pastor, a deacon, you name it. There's a lot of leadership things here. And we're just giving you these Bible principles about what Bible leadership is all about. And I hope these things are speaking to your heart, ministering to your heart. And once we get these things, we're recording this, and we, God willing, will have this in a series that's available in the future, that you'll be able to grab it and take it home and listen to it over and over again. If nothing, just to hear my beautiful voice over and over again. All these things. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6, I'll be there momentarily. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this service. Would you speak to our hearts and minister to our hearts tonight? And help us, Lord, to leave better Christians than we came in. Challenge us from your word. These are simple thoughts tonight, Lord. Simple thoughts. But may they challenge our hearts and change us where we need to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I remind you of some of these statements that I've already given. One man said, the strength of any organization is a direct result of the strength of its leaders. That same man said, if you want to grow an organization, grow the leader. It's my desire through this acrostic that every person here tries to learn some things how we can be better for the cause of Jesus Christ. If you think you have arrived and you cannot improve, then you have lost what leadership is all about. Leaders strive to be better and better and better. And I remind you tonight that being put in charge of something is not the same as being a leader of that something. God wants us to be Bible leaders. And what I'm doing is I'm giving you the acrostic on leadership and what Bible leadership is all about. Quickly, let me go back and review. The L, Bible leadership, is about loving the Lord supremely. Now, I encourage you to go back and get these thoughts if you were not here when I preached through these in detail, but it's just what it sounds like. In a leader's life, God has no rival. There's no rival. God is not one of many. God is the one and only in a leader's life. They love the Lord supremely. The E, leadership, is about exemplifying the Christian life. They give an example of who and what a Christian truly is in actions and also in attributes. The A, leadership, is about accepting your role. And this is the last thing we dealt with. And leaders accept their role in marriage and family and also accept their role in their God-given ministry. Now we pick up our study with the letter D. And that is leadership. These are so simple, they're ridiculous. But friends, if we'll let this speak to our hearts, this will absolutely change our lives. And it'll help us to end right. It'll help us to end right. I don't know about you. I hope I know about you. I want to end right. I want to finish, go across the finish line full speed ahead. I don't want to go across limping. I don't want to go across with a pulled hamstring. I want to go across full speed. This being the case, this D is so vitally important for leadership. Leadership is about defining faithfulness. Defining faithfulness. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. The Word of God says here, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Now, again, once I get done with this series, you can have it. So you don't have to worry about writing you can write notes if you want it, if you want to. But as far as the passage that I'm going to give you, you can have my notes. Just let me know you want them. The Word of God also says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 20, the Word of God says this. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. The Word of God teaches in the book of Luke, chapter number 16 and verse number 10, the Word of God says this, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Word of God says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. NBA great Jerry West said, and I quote, you can't get too much done in life if you only work on days when you feel good. That's a pretty good statement right there. Champions don't become champions in the ring. They are merely recognized there. That's something that Joe Frazier said, somebody I wouldn't want to step in the ring against. And here's what he said. You can map out a fight plan or a life plan, but when the action starts, you're down to your reflexes. That's where your road work shows. If you cheated on that in the dark of the morning, you're getting found out now under the bright lights. Faithfulness, the word faithfulness, is the one word that should describe every Bible leader. Every Bible leader should strive to have one word said about them. He or she are just faithful. Faithful. Dr. Clarence Sexton said, we are not responsible for results, only faithfulness. I say amen to that. May I say this to you? If you're faithful out visiting, if you're faithful out knocking doors, if you're faithful obeying the Lord, you're faithful in your walk with God, you're faithful in those things, and God only has four people or two people or one person in your Sunday school class, take it from God and just be faithful, friends. Just be faithful. Determine that you're going to be faithful. Leaders define faithfulness. You want to know what faithfulness is? You ought to be able to say, there he is. There she is. You want to know what faithfulness is? There she is. There he is. I've told you this before, but the longer I stay here, the more I tell you the same thing over and over again. Imagine if I'm here as long as preacher was. Good night. You'll hear this for umpteen many times and so on. When Tom Farrell was with us several years ago, after the Friday night service, he and preacher was gathered in Miss Phyllis's office there, and I kind of just snuck by the room hoping they'd call me in. And they did. Allowed me to pray with him. And I remember when he got up and he was going through Phyllis's office, going through preacher's office, getting ready to use that door to go outside. And he paused and he stepped back as only Tom Farrell can do. And he pointed his finger and said, son, just be faithful. I've never forgotten that. My mind's terrible. What's your name? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? My mind's terrible. But I've never forgotten that. God has engraved that on my mind. Now I want to give you three areas tonight where Bible leaders in the very least define faithfulness. These are not all the areas, but these are three areas that Bible leaders at the very least should define faithfulness doing these things. Number one under this, they ought to define faithfulness in walking with God. The Word of God says in Micah 6:8, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? John 5:39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You know, a leader emphasizes the being before the doing. Let me say that again. Bible leaders emphasize the being before the doing. There's a lot of people who emphasize what they ought to be doing. You ought to do that and do that. And by the way, Bible leaders do the appropriate things. But if they bypass what they ought to be, then they're putting the cart before the horse. See, friends, you must be receiving in order to give. The greatest leaders of others are the greatest followers of Christ. You want me to show you who the greatest leaders of men are? Those who are closest to the Lord. Those who follow the Lord the closest. As you've heard, a Bible coming apart represents a life that is not. A leader's life, a leader's first call is to be with Christ. This is found in Mark chapter number 3 and verses 13 and 14. Here's what it says. It says, and he goeth up into a mountain, talking about the Lord, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12, get this now, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Interesting, isn't it? The Word of God did not say that he called 12 to go out. Didn't say that. It said he called 12 to be with him, that they may go out for him. Friends, we've got to walk with God. One man said, to be much for God, we must be much with God. One preacher said, all ministry begins with the heart. God desires that all public ministry would flow from a heart that loves him fully and walks with him privately. The great need, therefore, of every Christian worker is to know God. The front stage is exciting when you're out in front of people, leading people. It's exciting. But the backstage is essential. The front stage is presentation. The backstage is preparation. Without the backstage, the front stage won't produce well very long. Neglect it, the backstage. In other words, the part nobody sees, the hidden part, neglect it, and your front stage audience will trickle away. They won't understand what happened to you. You may not understand what happened to you, but it's really quite simple. You forgot to spend time backstage. And that's a powerful quote. He's saying this, a lot of people like to be out in front. A lot of people like to be seen, like to be out in front of people. But he's saying if you're out in front leading people, what's essential to that is that you're backstage first where nobody knows what's going on in the privacy of your own life and you are walking with God. Spurgeon said the neglect of private prayer is the locust which devours the strength of the church. Dr. W.A. Criswell, a mighty Southern Baptist preacher, he was a mighty man of God. He said, this is many years ago, he said if he had but one thing to tell a young preacher, it would be, and I quote, keep the morning for God. Shut out the world and shut yourself to the Lord with a Bible in hand and with knees bowed in the presence of the holiness of the great Almighty. Now, I don't know about you, that cuts me right there. Dr. Clarence Sexton said a pastor's public life is a direct result of his personal life. He does not fit God into his schedule. God is his schedule. A man can be victorious only one way, and that is living consciously in the presence of God. Another man said, I've done a lot of reading, friends, okay, on leadership. Another man said, if you want to see what God will do through you, it all begins with what God is doing in you. Hudson Taylor said, and I quote, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His being with them. They were just weak men who did great things because they depended on God. J. Oswald Sanders said, spiritual leadership requires spirit-filled people. Other qualities are important. To be spirit-filled is indispensable. And you cannot and I cannot be a spirit-filled leader without a faithful walk with God. Now, we pump this here. We push this here. You ought to be reading the Bible every day. You ought to be praying every day. But that's not everything a walk with God encompasses. It starts there. Walking with God means you're going in the same direction. He's walking, He's progressing, and you're walking with Him. You're going. It's called a walk with God on purpose. You're walking with God. That means this. You cannot walk with Him without being in fellowship with Him. So Bible reading is obviously part of this. Prayer life is obviously part of this. But obedience is also another part of this. Walking with God means when He says go, you go. If He says no, you don't. If He says stop, you stop. If He says progress, you progress. This is all in a walk with God. Leaders define faithfulness. They express what faithfulness is in the very least in walking with God. In the very least, and you're doing this tonight, God bless you, but in attending church. At the very least, leaders in a local church setting define faithfulness in coming to the house of God. May I say this to you? I know folks work, and I mean, obviously we're not trying to be a stickler with this. You mean you got the flu? You ought to show up anyway. Please don't show up, okay? We're not trying to be crazy on this. But do you understand that if a leader can come to church and chooses not to come to church out of respect for the Lord, they ought to step down from their leadership position? I don't care if they're a deacon. I don't care if they're a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if they're the pastor. I'm talking about myself. Hey, do you expect me to be here? Yes. Why? Be careful to say, because you're the pastor. That's the wrong answer. You ought to expect me to be here, not just because I'm the pastor, not just because I'm the one that preaches, but because I'm a child of God. And I should just be faithful to the house of God. Now, Bible leaders ought to define faithfulness in this. By the way, you don't know what it does to my heart and for my heart as a pastor to look out and see so many of you precious people here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't think I don't notice. I get used to where you sit. So if you move, that's your fault. You know what I mean? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 puts it this way. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so much the more, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, we need each other. No doubt about it. Just determine that you're going to define faithfulness in walking with God. You're just going to walk with God on a daily basis. Just make up your mind you're going to define faithfulness because it pleases God, and you're just going to be here every time the door's open if you possibly can be. Now, if you're working, God understands that. We understand that. If you're sick, please stay away, okay? You understand. If you can be here, be here. Isn't it ridiculous that a pastor has to preach that? Now, let's just be honest. It's ridiculous that a man of God has to encourage people to be faithful to church. It's ridiculous. But it's in every church where folks who are leading people sometimes aren't even faithful to the house of God. Well, what's that mean? That means there's a problem somewhere. And may God help us to define faithfulness in walking with God, in attending all the services. Here's number three, in giving your tithes and offerings. Now, again, I emphasize to you that I do not check who gives what or so on. I'm not saying that I'm not going to put myself in a box and say I will never do that. But the fact of the matter is that right now I do not check who gives and who doesn't. In the future, I may end up doing that with maybe paid staff or maybe the deacons or something like that. But I'm not saying I'm going to. But if I ever did, it would be somebody like that. But the fact of the matter is this. Whether the pastor knows or not, God does. God is blessing the giving of this church. God is really blessing this church financially. He really is. And I want you to know something. A pastor with a heart right with God does not preach on giving to get money. That's not his heart. He preaches on giving to get the blessing of God on the church. Because the Word of God teaches in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, and before somebody says, well, tithing's not in the New Testament, you need to read Matthew because it's in Matthew. And all I'm saying to you is this, it is good and right to give your tithes and offerings to the local church because you're giving them to the Lord Jesus Christ. God cannot bless the leadership of anybody who's not obeying His command to give. He cannot bless that leader. If anyone should support the work of the local church, it should be the leaders. Amen? It should be the leaders. So the D is defining faithfulness. Now you see, I could get bogged down there. I gave you three areas in the very least that they ought to define faithfulness. There are other areas that are going to be coming out later in this acrostic, just in case you think I missed one, okay? But there are other areas. Now let's move on. The E, because I want to get through the R if I possibly can tonight. The E in leadership. Now, we've looked at loving the Lord supremely. We've looked at exemplifying the Christian life, accepting your God-given role, defining faithfulness. The E, here it is. Leadership is about establishing Bible-based convictions. Now, I use for this particular thought here, Matthew chapter 7. You don't have to turn to it. You can if you want. But Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27 says this. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So we see that depending on what they did with the words of Jesus Christ determined whether during the storm, whether their house fell or whether it withstood the storm because of the foundation it was built upon. Here's where I'm going with this. Leaders build their lives, build their families, and build their ministries upon the truths of God's holy word, not their own opinions. Now, it's been said, opinions are what we hold, convictions are what hold us. Now, that's a great statement, friends. It's not mine. Opinions are what we hold, but convictions are what hold us. A leader's convictions are to be based on the Word of God. The Bible's to be the sole authority in a leader's life. A leader lives by the Bible. Martin Luther was among the most fearless men who ever lived. When he set out on his journey to a place called Worms, how'd you like to live there? I live in Worms, you know. To a place called Worms to face the questions and the controversies that his teaching had created, he said, and I quote, "You can expect from me everything save fear and recantation. I shall not flee, much less recant." His friends warned of the dangers. Some begged him not to even go. But Luther would not hear of it. He said, "Not go to Worms? I shall go to Worms, though there were as many devils as tiles on the roofs." That's what he said. "If there's as many devils as there are tiles on the roof, I'm going." When he appeared there before the court of Emperor Charles V, he was shown a stack of his writings and called upon to recant. Luther replied, and I quote, "Unless I can be instructed and convinced with evidence from the Holy Scriptures or with open, clean, and distinct grounds of reasoning, then I cannot and will not recant because it is neither safe nor wise to act against conscience." Then he likely added, "Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me, amen." A few days before his death, Luther recalled that day, and here's what he said. He said, "I was afraid of nothing. God can make one so desperately bold." God give us that, friends. By the way, we may need that in America in the coming days. It's been said the men who have moved the world have been the men whom the world could not move. I like that statement. I don't even know who gave that. I might claim that myself right there. You know what I mean? It's not mine. Those men who move the world are the men that the world could not move. Build your life on this book. Get your convictions from it. Stand on it. And refuse to be blown away from it. Be a leader. We're talking about Bible leadership. We're not talking about worldly leaders. We're talking about biblical leadership. Bible leaders, what do? They establish Bible-based convictions and they stand on them by the grace of Almighty God. This is the second E. Then we come to the R. I'm getting to it, friends. The R. This is a big one. And because the Lord needs to help me explain what I'm talking about here, because a pastor can be misunderstood. But hear me through, and I believe you'll get where I'm going with this. The R in leadership is about respecting authority. Respecting authority. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, you can just let me turn to it here. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17, the Word of God says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now, obey those that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, in context and applying this scripture, who in the world do you think that can be applied to? The pastor. Now, leaders respect their authority in their words and also in their work. Every person carries two buckets. They carry a bucket of water and a bucket of fire. Leaders, when they come upon disloyalty and disunity, do not pour fire on it. They pour water on it. And every time that this takes place, I hope the Holy Spirit of God will remind you you're carrying two buckets. Which one are you going to use? Now listen to me. As far as I know, and I mean this, as far as I know, where it stands today, right now, I don't know of disunity in this church. That's a blessing. Amen. That's a blessing. But that does not mean it's not here. Did you hear what I just said? That does not mean that disunity or disloyalty or all this is not brewing. Now stay with me here. Leaders respect their authority in attitude and action. And here's where I want to explain this so you're with me. Leaders understand the difference between the man and the office. Let me explain. You must separate when you're talking about the pastor. Now you understand I'm talking about me now, okay? But God has shown me some things. I'm learning. You must separate the man from the office. Here's what I mean. You may not always agree or understand. Matter of fact, if you never disagree with me, one of us is doing something wrong, okay? Because I'm a human being. Now I know that's hard for you to believe. I know you thought if I rip this back, there's an S here, all those kind of, but there's not, okay? There's not. You're going every now and then to disagree. That's normal. Because if you have two people in a room and ask opinions on things, on some issues, you're going to get two different opinions, right? Sure, sure. Now listen to me here. Let this help you. You may not always agree or understand, but unless it is moral, doctrinal, or financial, leaders will respect and cooperate. Not because of the man, but because of the office. And leave the results with God. Because this verse said, you obey them, you submit yourselves to them because they're watching for your souls as they that must give account. That means I have a judgment day. I will answer to God for how I try to lead this local church. So don't try to be God. Don't try to take his place. Amen? However, if the pastor goes off morally, if he runs around on his wife, he's hooked on pornography, all these other kind of things, he starts stealing money from the church, or he tries to change doctrine, are you listening to me? You have to separate the office and man. Amen? He is just a man. And out of respect for the office, get rid of him. Because he's a man, he's not God. There are some churches and some pastors who try to get loyalty to themselves to the point that if they turn the whole ship doctrinally, they expect the church to bow down. Not this pastor, friends. I'm telling you, if I ever get up, number one, I've lost my mind if it takes place, and I ever try to change versions of the Bible or ever try to change doctrine or say the virgin birth's not important, that'll be my last sermon at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But out of respect for the office, and you see the man, he is just a man, he's fallible, and if he's trying to take you down the wrong pathway, or he's stealing God's money, or he's running around on his wife, get rid of him. You understand what I'm saying? Respect authority. You respect the office of the pastor to the point that unless it's doctrinal, unless it's financial, unless it's moral, you will, I don't understand what he's doing. I don't quite get it. Come and see me. Come ask questions. Come to us. But in the long run, you're going to say, you know, this is my church. God wants me here. I don't quite understand, but it's just a color on the walls. I'm going to say amen to that, okay? Out of respect for the office, not necessarily the man. I think I've belabored this maybe too long, but this is so important to understand this. I like what one man said. A good leader is a good subordinate. I like that. I like that. May I say this to you? I'm going to stop right here anyway. Let me come down there with you just a minute. There are no longer things that people can bring to me and I say, you have to go see Preacher Lashley about that. I miss those days, Preacher. I'm glad, yes, he said he's glad I have it. Yes, I miss those days when I say, that's the pastor's call. By the way, God simplified your life, especially if you're on staff or a deacon or anything like that. God didn't call you to lead. He called me to do it. God's made life simple on you. You have to go see the pastor on that. Enjoy that, friends, okay? Take advantage of that. And may I say this to you? I don't take that for granted. I don't. Because I know I've got a date with God. And I realize I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes and I'm going to make more. And I apologize for those mistakes. But I want you to know as this local church, I am doing my very best to pray and seek God and get God's direction on things. And if God shows me go that way, I'm going, friends. I'm going. I mean, that's just the way he's made me. If he'll show me, we're going. I mean, come on. Let's get there. You know what I'm saying? It just takes me a while sometimes to discern the will of the Lord. And all I ask is basically what you're already doing. Just keep respecting authority. Leave me to God. Amen tonight? Leave me to God. Unless I'm too big for my britches and I start trying to steal money, or I start running around on my wife, or I start trying to change doctrine, you get rid of me. Amen? Respect authority. Now, that's also pastoral preaching. You know, it's kind of hard for a pastor to get up and say, respect the pastor. That's hard. But I hope you see my heart. I'm not saying it because it's me. I'm saying it because of who I represent. When I went this afternoon and Miss Bacon called me and she was broken and wanted me to come up to see her and be with her during this time, I emphasized to her, I said, you call me day or night, it doesn't matter what time it is. And she basically said, I just don't want to bother you. I said, listen. I said, I represent the Lord. I'm his representative. I'm his under-shepherd. And whatever Jesus would do, I should do. And Jesus is there for you day or night. Amen? I want you to know I'm here for you. I love you, precious people. My wife loves you. You have no idea how much my wife loves you. And God is leading. He is directing. And I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you to respect and follow because God's taking us somewhere. Amen. And may the Lord help us to be Bible leaders. Tonight we've looked at three areas. leadership. Leaders define faithfulness. You want to know what faithfulness is? You should be able to point to a person, not a thing, but a person. There's faithfulness. They ought to walk with God faithfully. They ought to give faithfully. They ought to attend church faithfully. That's just three of many. Leadership is about establishing Bible-based convictions that you're going to build your life on the Word of God. And when the storms of life come, your house will stand because you're building it on a solid rock. And leadership is about respecting authority, that you submit and honor and obey as long as the leader's not trying to take you down a path that God never intended you to go. Doctrinal, moral, financial. These are three letters, and we're plowing right through this. May the Lord help us to continue with this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight, and I pray that you help us to understand these thoughts. And Lord, I thank you for how you're helping me to get these thoughts across. These are your thoughts. These are your principles. These are what please you. And help the leaders of this local church to be faithful. How many tonight say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm glad I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? Amen. Sure, you can put your hand down, thank you. If there's one here tonight that could not raise your hand to that, today you can be able to raise your hand to that question before you leave. If you'll come, let us take a Bible and share with you how the Lord Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again to save you from your sin. Tonight as they began to play through softly, I feel the Lord just leading me just to really focus. Even though I could talk about establishing Bible-based convictions, that's for you and your family. I could talk about respecting authority and just submitting and leaving the pastor to God himself as far as the other things that he leads and guides in, unless he goes off morally or doctrinally or financially. But I feel the Lord laying on my heart about the very first thing I brought out tonight, and that is how leaders define faithfulness. And really under that, the very first point, that they define faithfulness in just walking with God. You know, if leaders would just walk with God, it would correct so many other issues. It really would. It doesn't mean that if you walk with God, everything's good, everything's right, everything's a piece of cake. No. But it all starts there. Now, I realize that many of you would raise your hand saying, I'm walking with God on a daily basis. That's a great thing, but I'm not asking that. I'm asking, are you willing to get out of your seat tonight as a leader and say, God, help my walk with you to be closer than it's ever been? And that means that I'm talking to people who are faithfully walking with God. I'm talking with people who are not walking with God. I'm talking with people who need to start and who just need to take a next step up. But will you accept the challenge as a Bible leader to define faithfulness in the area of just walking with God? Getting alone with God on a daily basis. Spending time alone with God. Alone, alone, alone with God. For your marriage, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your ministry, just a leader who walks with God. Will you accept that challenge? I hope you will. I hope you will. I'm just going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. Without standing, if you'd like to come and get on this altar and say, God, help me walk with you like I never have. Help me to walk with you closer than I ever have. As Brother Gary sings, would you come now? If God's leading you to do it, I want you to come. If the Lord is leading you to do it, I want you to come. If God wants you to come, I want you to come. You say, I want to be a leader.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only, always living in me. have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only, always living in me.
This is Angela Hilbert, and she is coming to join the church. Praise the Lord for it. So excited about this. She's read the bylaws. She agrees to submit to them. Sad we have to do that nowadays, you know. We don't do it for folks like her, you understand, but we're so thrilled about that. And I failed to ask you, are you coming by statement? Is that what you're coming by? By letter, okay. Coming by letter from a church of like faith. And she has been saved and scripturally baptized, immersed. And she is coming to join our church. Could I have the pleasure of the church that we receive her by letter, please? There's Marty, Brother Bob Edwards. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Opposed, same sign. So carry, it's done. You've just signed your life away. I'm just kidding with you. And she has a burden for children. And we're going to turn her loose. She does have a burden for the fourth grade, Andy. And we need a fourth grade teacher. And this is your teacher right here. We're thrilled about that. God bless you. Welcome to the membership of Buffalo Ridge. And I'd like you to stay there. Our folks will come by and greet you. That'll be good. And remind all the Sunday school workers, if you work in Sunday school, please stay with us for a time of fellowship over in the gymnasium. And there's some chairs over there. You can have a seat. That'll be good. I appreciate you being here. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Very good. Let's all stand together, please, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Be back in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night for Cadets for Christ. Brother Joe Sherry, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray, sir, please.